Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This episode is supported by Security Bank Philippines. Visit bit.ly/SECBinvestments or check out the link in the description to know more about their investment products and services.
Hello? Hello?
Podcast Network Asia.
Hello and welcome to episode 49 of The 80%. Today, kasama ulit natin ang Security Bank at pag-uusapan natin ang kanilang market outlook for 2021 at ano ba ang magandang investment strategy for next year. Joining us in this episode are Mr. Raf Palmahil, an equity fund manager, and Mr. Dino Aquino, head of the Fixed Income Department. Both of them are from the Trust and Asset Management Group's Investments Division of Security Bank. So, are you ready to listen and learn? Let's go! Hi, my name is Fitz Villafuerte at ako ay isang registered financial planner. Since 2007, nagbibigay na ako ng financial advice through my blog entitled Ready to Be Rich. And I continue this advocacy through this podcast kung saan pag-uusapan natin ang mga effective strategies kung paano ba yumaman. Thank you for tuning in, and now, on to the show. Ilang linggo na lang at 2021 na, and I'm sure lahat tayo, we're all hoping for a better year ahead. During this time, a lot of economists, fund managers, and financial analysts are already giving their market outlook for next year. And based sa mga nababasa ko, everyone is optimistic about 2021, at least when it comes to the financial markets. Among them are our guests for today. Let's get to know them.
This is Dino Aquino, the head of the Fixed Income Desk for Security Bank Trust and Asset Management Group. So my job as the head of the Fixed Income Desk is we manage the fixed income funds of the group. We also manage the UITF funds, and we also manage the investment managed accounts of our clients.
Yeah, I'm Raf Palmahil. I'm one of the equity fund managers of Security Bank Trust and Asset Management Group. I do the same function as Dino, but I, instead of fixed income, we invest the equity portion of the portfolios.
Dino and Raf comes from the Trust and Asset Management Group of Security Bank, which is, of course, more than just a bank kung saan nag-o-open ka ng savings account. They have investment products and services, and when I say investment, hindi lang yung time deposits but also UITFs or Unit Investment Trust Funds. And si Dino and Raf, sila yung nag-aalaga at nagpapalago ng pera natin if we invest in UITFs sa Security Bank. Here's Dino to explain more.
So the UITF is a pooled fund. So we have a number of funds enlisted in our website. So there are these funds include fixed income and equity funds, and you can invest in that fund. So given that it's a pooled fund, it's a fund where people can invest in their money. Mm-hmm. So if you have an alternative to time deposit, for example, you can use the money market fund, which is our conservative fund. So people usually with very conservative approach on investing tend to invest in our money market fund because it's similar to a time deposit, but it has better returns than your traditional time deposits. What our group does is we manage other people's money or our clients' money. We make sure that it's in their best interest to make money for them as best we can and to watch the market and ensure that we do everything that's within the code of conduct of the markets.
So basically, pag pumunta ako sa Security Bank and then sinabi ko gusto ko mag-invest, the bank staff will offer me yung mga trust products ng Security Bank, and doon ako mag-i-invest. And pag ang pinili ko ay gusto ko mag-invest sa Security Bank na equity fund, which is basically the stock market. That means ikaw, Raf, yung mag-i-invest ng pera ko, yung mag-decide kung saan siya i-invest. Tama ba, Raf?
Almost correct, but it's just not me, no, who's handling the equity portfolio. We have several fund managers, so it's going to be our team who's going to handle the equity portfolio. It's just that there's another fund manager who's handling the specifically the equity fund. So I'm the one handling the high dividend fund, but it's my group. So that's correct, naman, that it's going to be our team who's going to manage it.
Now, let's look back at what happened this year from the perspective of our guests. I was interested to know, were people more cautious or more aggressive with their investment strategies? Here's Raf.
If you ask both of us, Nadino and me, we're gonna say two different stories, no? For the fixed income side, it was really a good year for them. They were making a killing this year. Unfortunately, that's not the same for the equity guys. No? The reason for this is that, like you mentioned, because of this unique environment that we are in, most investors became more cautious or even frantic. No? So that's the reason why the fixed income market really benefited a lot, no, this year on the expense of the risky assets, including equities. So I don't know if you're following the stock market around March this year. The PSEI actually traded at a very low level of 4,000, which is, ever since I started working, I never seen that level. Investors were, of course, given that there is the risk of losing, for example, one's job, and this is just a general uncertainty, no? So people became more cautious and prefer fixed income over risky assets.
I think those who are really prepared pagdating sa mga ganitong klaseng events, yung mga talaga nag-aral on how does the market works, sila talaga yung naka-take advantage nung dip ng 4,000. I actually know someone na he's been investing for 5, 6, 7 years already. And sabi niya, all in na daw nung March and April. Kayo ba, nag-all in ba kayo nung March or April?
Of course, we're handling other people's money, no? So even though we wanted, we need to make sure that, given the uncertainty, no, we need to get more, what do you call this, indicators.
Or,
yes, we need to make a calculated risk. No? Even though we feel during that, of course, everything is already hindsight, no? But during that time that the market was trading around the 4,000 levels, it was also difficult for us to invest, because of course there are a lot of uncertainties. We don't know what will happen. Will it be the end of the world already, diba? So those things will come to mind. And of course, if you are mentally prepared and
emotionally,
you'll be able to take that opportunity. No, so no, we were not able to enter at the low, but around the 4,500 to around the 5,000. Levels were in when we saw that there are already some better and good developments that is on the horizon. No? That's when we gain confidence to expose our clients, no, or to go all in, as you said. So not really the low, but near the low.
If I may add, lang, you were mentioning people who are in trading for a long time. Actually, sir, to give you an idea, I've been in the industry for 17 years already. One cannot be really prepared for these types of scenarios.
Correct. This is an uncharted.
Because at that time, nung March, when ECQ was announced, and then the outbreak was just really going all over the world. Na, you wouldn't know then. You don't know if it's really the bottom at that point. As Raf mentioned, it's all hindsight now. But at that point, there could be room to go lower. We don't know, diba? What's Raf mentioning now is that, right now, the difference is there's a lot of better prospects moving forward. Of course, there's the presence of the vaccine already. Na yung risk na lang is if it's going to be rolled out properly. But at this point, at least there's there's a light already at the end of the tunnel. Kasi noon, parang we're just entering the tunnel pa lang. We don't know how long the tunnel or that road we're gonna trek pa, diba? So it's quite hard, diba? That, even for experienced investors like Raf and myself.
Teka, bakit nga ba malaki ang returns ng bonds or fixed income during this pandemic? I ask Dino to explain.
In layman's terms kasi, for the benefit of our listeners, pag bumababa yung interest rates, the price of the bond actually goes up. So in cases, well, risk events like this one, the ideal investment would be fixed income. Why? Because it gives you a fixed amount of coupon payments over a longer period. Like, for example, if you bought a bond with a 4.5% coupon, so if you plan to hold it till maturity, it doesn't matter naman if you're an investor that's planning to hold the bond, you'll still get paid the coupon payment every 6 months. So meaning you still have a steady cash flow every 6 months, diba? So for the conservative investor, in times where there are a lot of uncertainties, they usually shift to fixed income assets versus equity assets because there's a lot of risk in the equity market. So when Raf said it made a killing this year, well, we had a decent return of double digits for the year. Actually, last year was a lot better. Our returns were higher last year compared to this year, but still double digits. So still very, very decent. So if you look at it in perspective, we're already near the all-time lows in terms of our interest rates, not only in the Philippines, but globally. So medyo mababa na talaga. That's why if you notice, if you go to your local branch, security bank branch, and you inquire on the TD rates, it's quite low. It's really low right now because interest rates on the secondary market are also very low. Just to give you an idea, the inflation natin, which is averaging at around 2.5%. If you buy a 10-year paper, if you net it out, it's actually going to yield you something around 1.9 to 1.8% only. So that's a negative return if you buy a bond versus your inflation rate. So ngayon, ganun na siya kababa ngayon. Yeah. So that's why it made the killing, as Raf mentioned, kasi malaki nang binaba ng interest rates this year.
Yeah, and also it puts into light the importance of diversification. I know some people, pag investing, puro stocks. But of course, it's also good to have a mix of different types of investments, not just investing directly in the stock market, but also have investments in bonds and also mga UITFs and
CDs.
Yes, money market and time deposit and all of those. So, well, of course, it all depends on your financial goals, as I always say. You know.
So, given everything that has happened this year, tinanong ko sila, what do they think is the most important financial lesson that people should have learned, particularly those that this pandemic has really put into light? Here are their answers.
For most of us, no, the number one lesson that we should have learned this year is really to have a buffer or an emergency fund. No? There are a lot of Filipinos who lost their job because of this pandemic, given that companies really took a hit this year. No? So having an emergency fund or a buffer is really important. Before you even start considering investing, I suggest to have an emergency fund on hand for instances like this. No? So even though these types of scenario or these crises rarely happens, it's a possibility that we still need to prepare. No? On the second lesson, I think it would be to be more prepared to take advantage of these types of scenario. As I mentioned earlier, these crises are not too often. No? It's usually once or twice, no? In a lifetime. So if you look at historically, there are some crises, no? Like the global financial crisis, the Asian financial crisis. No? If you look at the charts for equities on those years, no? when these crises happened, after a year or so, no, the equities recover, the equity market recovers, and you can only get those types of returns after a crisis. So for those who were able to take advantage of this downturn, so good job, no, good job, no. So next time we see a crisis, we should see it not as a crisis, but an opportunity to accumulate assets, no.
That's true. That's true. I agree with that. Ikaw, Dino, what do you think is the most important lesson that people should have learned this year?
I think the most important, as Raf mentioned, is you have an emergency fund. or a rain, I call it a rainy day fund. Because at this point, kasi you never know, eh, given what's happening globally, it's always important to be able to have something at the back of your pocket to be able to pick up when you need it. Diba? Personally, I'm from experience, siguro I save at least 30% of what I make on a monthly basis and I invest it. I think that's one of the more important lessons, especially to the younger kids because they tend to shop a lot, mga ganon, diba? But it's important kasi let this what happened this year to be a lesson na magandang may naipon maski pa paano. At least, di ba? I'm sure given what happened this year, as Raph mentioned, if you just took advantage of the 4,000 handle, it could have made a killing. Actually, I mentioned in one of our Trust Tuesday episodes this year, I had an ending quote in one of our episodes. In a bull market, people make money. But in a bear market, people make a fortune.
It's going to be a new year in a few weeks. At marami na nagtatanong sa akin, saan ba maganda mag-invest? Here's Raph and then Dino sharing their market outlook for 2021.
For 2021, I hope it should be relatively better compared to this year. I don't think it will get worse. No, there's only way but up from this point. And also with the availability of the vaccine, it will boost investor sentiment moving forward. Even though it will not reach our shores, we will have a vaccine here by next year. No, most probably it will even happen towards the end of next year, or even 2022. No, but the mere impact on sentiment would really boost the markets. We always need to think that the markets, both fixed income and equities market, always discounts the future. No? So even though we're not seeing the full impact of the vaccine yet, it will already be priced in by the market. So that being said, our sector picks for next year are the banks, properties, and conglos. For banks, of course, it was sold along with the other stocks. No? Main reason is that people are worried on the asset quality of banks, given that there's a pandemic. Of course, the capability of the people who borrowed from banks, no, are compromised. So, but given how our banks reacted, no, they were aggressive in terms of provisioning. When you say provisioning, it's like leaving some income now to be able to cover up for potential losses from those loans. So our banks are more aggressive to save, no, in case we see deterioration in assets, no. So we think our banks are already prepared, and given the low valuations or the low value at this point, no, we think this is one of the sectors that you want to be invested in. Second is the property. Again, it was also sold down heavily because of the pandemic, plus the fact that there is a negative outlook on POGOs. POGOs is the Philippine onshore gaming sector, no? So these are our Chinese friends who are walking around Makati, etc. So given the recent developments, especially on the tax front, no, so may negative impact on these POGOs. That's why it is expected that these firms are going to leave the country, no, or at least minimize their exposure to the Philippines. So given that properties are one of the beneficiaries of POGOs, because they are the ones who lease out to POGOs as well as they provide shelter to these POGOs worker, if these guys move out, of course, it will be negative. But given the decline in prices, we think it's already priced in. And there are a lot of good things that's going to happen in the property sector. Like, for example, we are seeing some IPO, potential IPOs, no, of REITs. Diba? If you're familiar, Ayala came out with an offering, which is the A-REIT. No? We are hearing that other properties are going to follow suit. So if they do this, they will have a vehicle to be able to crystallize the value of their assets. So it will be positive for property. And lastly, for Conglos, if we all believe that the PSEI will recover next year, Conglos will need to be the one who's going to lead the charge, because they comprise a majority of the index. So meaning, if you break down the index, around 40%, if I'm not mistaken, are conglomerates, or ito yung mga SM Investment Corp, Ayala Group, SM Group, etc. So these stocks are called the proxy of the PSEI. So if you believe the PSEI is going to rally, then these conglos are going to rally as well. So those are the three sectors that we are really bullish heading towards next year. For the sectors that we would like to avoid, actually, I don't think there's a specific sector that will not benefit from a recovery. Of course, we're coming from a pandemic. Everyone is at a low point. So I don't think there will be a sector that will not benefit. But of course, there are more faster horse than others. So the thing is really to choose which horses to ride on. So maybe I would be a bit wary on airlines and gaming. Mm-hmm. Airlines, because I think it will take some time for people to get comfortable to travel. And given that there are a lot of requirements before you can travel, it will be hard for a normal citizen or normal person to travel. And of course, for gaming naman, of course, people will prioritize staples first before engaging in any gambling activity. So at least for these two sectors, I'm not that bullish. Although I think most sectors naman will benefit with their recovery.
Dino. How about you, Dino? What can you see when it comes to the bond market for 2021?
So for 2021, if you look at the past 2 years, the bond market has given us actually very good returns. Growth more than 30% if you look at our own funds over the past 2 years already. Given that, I don't think there's going to be a reversal, meaning yields will spike up and the bond market will have a sell-off or a bond rout, which happened back in 2016 to 2018. But I do believe that if you look at the market in general, I think the low rates will prevail, meaning the rates will be lower for longer, at least. Why is this so? Because if you look at the growth, our own house view on GDP actually pala is, just to mention, is 7.1% for 2021. But that doesn't mean that there's a real growth coming from 2020, because 2020 is a pandemic year. So definitely, everything moving forward, if you just do a base year effect, everything moving forward will be positive growth. But if you look at the real recovery, meaning the economy to recover from the pandemic, I think the earliest we can see it is probably 2022. Meaning if you compare the base year of 2019 and not 2020, because 2020 nga is a pandemic year. So you have to look at 2019 as your basis for real growth. So if your growth is net positive from 2019, that means that it's going to be a positive growth. So the earliest we can see it probably is 2022. So with that, BSP, our central bank, our good governor, has already communicated to us that he's going to keep rates really low for growth to be able to boost growth. Because as we look at the GDP numbers last quarter, it's still on the negative territory, of course. But it's still double digit, diba? So I do think fourth quarter will be a lot better because of better mobility moving forward. If you look at the streets, there are a lot of cars. If you look at the malls, it's also a bit packed. Well, of course, it's Christmas season. People tend to spend more than the past 2 months. So we would see a lot more spending, consumer spending this quarter. But I think rates will remain low. So the BSP would most likely raise rates probably mid-2022 to early 2023. So with that modest return, siguro around 2 to 3% or close to 4% on the bond market, still a lot better than your TD rates, your normal TD rates are doing, which is below 1%. So I think there's still good returns, especially on the conservative end, the money market fund. Kasi usually the money market fund is for our conservative investors. If you're more on the risky side type of investor, I do suggest what Raph mentioned on the equity markets, because especially on a recovery, the equities really do well, actually.
Yeah. Given that Dean already gave targets, I can give my our target as well for the equity side. For this year, we're looking at around a 7, 7,200 to 7,400 close for 2020. We're already near that level na, no? So, but of course, when you invest, you're not just looking at this year, no? You need to look beyond. So 2021, our official target is around the, if I'm not mistaken, around the 7,800 to the 8,000 levels, no? So which is more or less, give or take, no, around 10% return. But of course, as we move along, we change these projections as well, no? So just take this as a guide, no, for you guys. As for the support levels or the levels we're in, we encourage you to buy equities, maybe around the 6,800 to the 7,000 level is a good support, at least for the remainder of the year.
I'd like to circle back to what Dino mentioned earlier, that yung central bank will try to keep the interest rates low, no? How does that affect them as regular consumers? Does that mean it's a good time to borrow money, mag-apply ng home loan or auto loan? What does a low interest rate mean for a ordinary citizen?
Well, actually, if you look at the liquidity in the market, it's very high, meaning maraming cash sa system. The low rates actually haven't reached the consumers just yet. In fact, if you look at your housing loan or car loans, it's still on the high side, diba? If you compare it from last year, it's just a little bit lower, but still on the high side. But if you look at the interest rates scenario, 2% na yung binaba, 2 to 3% na yung binaba ng interest rates on the secondary market. So why is it not reaching the consumers just yet? Reason for this are banks are very conservative at this point in lending. They're ensuring that if you look at into perspective, why BSP is keeping rates low, they're giving the banks liquidity to be able to invest then, diba? And those invests are government securities. Yeah, and that's the reason why fixed income yields have actually went really low this year, because of those added liquidity into the system. In fact, in the last monetary board meeting, they actually did a surprise cut once again of 25 basis points. It's actually fueled the fixed income market, as long as the stock market also, because the stock market also benefited from that. So if you look at the consumer side, part of the reason why the banks haven't been lending is there's really not a lot of borrowing demand as of late, in terms of buying a car, buying a house, because people are saving their money at this point. I think when the economy normalizes, meaning there's actual growth and rates are still, well, on the low side, we might raise rates back early 2023 or late 2022, but it's still very low, because if you recall, we already reduced interest rates by 275 basis points or 300 basis points over the past 2 years, diba? So that's still low. So if you raise like 50 basis points from where we are now, rates are still low. And eventually it will catch up on the consumers, and consumers will eventually be able to borrow low on their car loans, on their housing loans. But at this point, we have to wait a little bit more. We have to wait for the economy to stabilize a little bit more and to see real growth back into the system before these low rates reaches the consumer.
And so, given this outlook, how should one invest? Saan ba maganda mag-invest next year? As always, your investing strategy should be aligned with your financial goals, which means you have to ask yourself, kailan mo ba gagamitin yung pera na i-invest mo? Is it for a short term, medium term, or a long term financial goal? What is your investment horizon? For instance, kung balak mong gamitin yung pera within 2 years or less, here's what Dino recommends.
Yung 2 years kasi for us as fund managers, it's actually very short term. Kasi we look at things on a 5 year, 5 to 10 years actually. Take into consideration the equity markets. I think if you look at the past 20 years, sabihin na natin 10 to 20, 10 years, the past 10 years, 2010 to 2020, I think you'll get an average return of around 7 to 8%, if I'm not mistaken, annual return, if you include dividends. On the fixed income space naman, you'll probably get around 4 to 6% annual return, which is lower, of course, given the asset type. But 2 years, that's quite short a time horizon. The market can be bad 2 years and it can be good 3 years. May ganun di ba? May ganun instances. But on a two-year horizon, we do suggest we have our money market fund, which is considered a safe investment because it's comprised of 60% time deposits and 40% short-term government securities or treasury bills. It will also give you an annual return of around 3 to 4% net if you get the 10-year horizon, so which is still very decent given the fact that it's a fund that's very conservative and it's quite safe because it's, yeah, as I mentioned, it's 60% time deposit. So if you look at your components, it's just basically short-term investing, so 1 to 2 years. So it's still very decent for the conservative type.
Paano naman kung medium-term investment horizon, like around 3 or 5 or 7 years? Here's what Raf has to say about this.
Okay, so a 7-year time horizon is a good time horizon already, no? But of course, we also need to consider yung risk tolerance of a person. Some people, even though they have a long time horizon, they're still conservative. So it really depends on your tolerance to take risk, no? But assuming you're an aggressive investor, you're still in your early years of your career, and you still have time to recuperate any future losses, no? We can dabble on equities at this point, especially that we're coming from a crisis. As I mentioned, it's a good time to enter given that equities are heavily battered this year, no? And we are expecting a recovery in the next 2 to 3 years, no? So equities is a good asset for those with that time horizon. So the question now is, how do we access equities? So there are a lot of ways to access it. One is through direct investment. So you approach a brokerage and then put money and then invest individually. But there are other more accessible means. Like, for example, like Dina mentioned, we also have UITFs that are invested in equities. No? So if you have a bank and you approach them and ask them about their UITF products, most likely they have naman a huge wide range of UITF products ranging from money market to equities, no, depending on risk tolerance. So they can also access equities through those means as well.
Kung medyo conservative sila, pero ganun katagal yung time horizon nila, do you think a balanced fund and a bond fund would...
Definitely, a balanced fund will benefit them. No? So they diversify risk by having two different asset classes like equity and bonds. So case in point, for those who have a balanced fund this year, they fared well compared to those who are fully invested in equities, given that, as I mentioned earlier, fixed income really performed well this year, even though the equities side didn't perform as well. At least another asset class was able to carry the other. So are you... Even in our UITF products, we also have a balanced fund, which we call the asset variety fund.
Asset variety, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then, of course, if your financial goal is really long-term, like you're investing for your retirement, things like that, I'm guessing equities is really the way to go. Am I right, Raf?
You are partly correct. I would say it really depends on your... where in your lifetime you are in right now. No? So if you're still young and you're saving up for retirement, of course you can go all in equities, no? Given that you have a long time to recuperate any losses, as I mentioned. But if you're already near retirement, I wouldn't suggest investing in equities kasi kung ano yung naipon mo before, baka matalo pa, diba?
This is something that I am often asked. Bakit daw sila mag-i-invest sa balanced fund kung pwede naman daw silang gumawa ng do-it-yourself balanced fund by investing directly in stocks and investing directly in government or corporate bonds? What do you think about that? Ano, what do you, is that something better kasi you have more control over the distribution of your money, or ano ba yung advantage of getting a balanced fund?
Well, I think diversification, first and foremost. As Raf mentioned, if you're invested in a balanced fund this year, you actually did better than, a lot better than purely equities. Kasi it's also important to be diversified. Even if you're investing in direct assets, like you have a broker, you direct in direct equities, you should also have a fixed income portfolio on hand. Because what if you need the money, right? Oh, what if you need the money? Right. For example, you need the money right now and your equity investment is still underwater. It's important that you have a fixed income asset because it gives you a steady stream of income. And then you also can liquidate it right away when you have emergencies that you need cash right away. So I think it's very important to diversify.
Just to add, no, there's nothing wrong, no, with investing on your own. The value add naman of us being fund managers is that for those people who are not really investment savvy, or for those people who doesn't have time to study the markets, we are here to help you guys to handle your finances. So I know you can easily make your own balance fund by investment by investing directly. But sure, the biggest advantage is that we do this full time, and you may not have the time to study the markets given your usual work, no. So that's one of the advantage. And also, given that we are part of a bank, a part of a big group, we have access to research. Case in point, we have our own research team that is watching and studying financial assets, no. We also have access to treasuries that can supply us with corporate bonds or fixed income investments. We have a lot of brokerages which can provide research as well as to give us best execution. So it's just economies of scale.
At this point, I think natanong ko na sa kanila lahat ng gusto kong malaman. So, to end our conversation, I ask them for some parting words for all of us who's listening.
It's been a tough year, to say the least, for all of us. Not only for Filipinos, but for everyone globally. I mean, the emotional stress that we went through this year is just incomparable in memory. I can compare it to 2008, when I was already in this industry where the global financial crisis hit us. But this is different. It kind of hits home because it's health. It's a health crisis, diba? So it's quite difficult. And with that, of course, our difficulties when it comes to our investments as well. But we should always consider the fact that the markets usually come back, no matter how low it goes, diba? Usually the market gives back what it takes from you. So what's important is we always believe and don't lose hope. And if we fail, we always have to just get back up and continue to move forward, diba? As Michael Jordan said, I have failed over and over again. That's why I succeed. So it's important for us to keep believing and just keep striving no matter the hardships that we face, even in our financial decisions.
What have we learned today? First, this pandemic has taught us the importance of having an emergency fund, that one can never really be prepared for a crisis. Second, that it's been a difficult year for everyone, but at last, we're seeing light at the end of the tunnel and our economy is recovering. In fact, the prospects are already optimistic for 2021. And lastly, that the market never really runs out of good investing opportunities, and that we should always be prepared to seize them when one comes along our way.
Investing is like dieting, actually. You just really need to start, no? To start working out, to start dieting, no? So same on your investment, no? Putting aside like as much as 20 pesos, no, will eventually turn into a good habit moving forward. So start small and start early.
And that's the end of our episode. Thank you for listening. Kung may natutunan kayo today, then please follow or subscribe to The 80%, and invite nyo na rin ang mga friends nyo to listen to our podcast. Acknowledgement goes to Security Bank Philippines for supporting this episode. And thank you to Mr. Raf Palmahill, Equities Fund Manager, and Mr. Dino Aquino, Head of the Fixed Income Department, both from the Trust and Asset Management Group of Security Bank. If you want to learn more about the different investment and trust products that Security Bank offers, you can go to bit.ly/SECBinvestments or click the link in the description of this episode. And for anything and everything related to this podcast, you can go to our website, the80percentpodcast.com. That's it. My name is Fitz Villafuerte. See you in our next episode. So goodbye for now. Take care and stay safe.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.